And there was a firefight!
Why did you touch me?
You killed innocent people.
The means to an end.
You started a massacre.
I caused the revolution.
You betrayed the law!
I see you are practiced in worshipping things that fly.
Hulkamania is running wild like it's never ran before.
It's over 9,000!
What?
Rise before Zod.
Bitches leave.
Kneel before Zod.
Oh, this is the worst looking hat I ever saw. Well, you buy a hat like this, I bet you get a free bowl of soup, huh?
Remember, there's always madness. Madness is the emergency exit.
Here it comes! A little going away present for you!
Welcome everybody to Capes and Scowls, episode 23. No! No!
Okay.
How is everybody?
Warm.
Warm.
I'm what is known as bungry.
Ooh.
Which, someone told me about once, which is short for broken hungry. Bungry.
Interesting. Living that college life.
Yeah,
that's
man.
Right. You know what's funny? I had a dream. I just remembered this from you saying it. I had a dream that I was like back in college, except like I'm currently in college.
I was gonna say.
So it's like that dream you have where you're back in high school. Oh no, I never graduated. But like I did it about like college. I guess the first time I went to college.
I dreamed I was in another college. It was weird.
So like I went back. I'm like, oh, I'm still a student. I'm like, wait, I am a student. And then I woke up and went to class. Oh. My dreams finally came true.
Oh yay, that's fun. Dreams come true.
Yeah. It's like the Make-A-Wish Foundation, so with a happier ending.
Man, it took me a second.
I don't know, man. You just you just brought everybody down, man. And you guys demanded.
I don't know. Lander laughed.
I did.
No, everybody's laughing.
Everyone's laughing.
You not the Make a Wish kids. They're not laughing, but everyone else. What if there was like a Make a Wish kid that's like found
that's
our podcast,
listening.
And he was like, "Man, I just really enjoy getting out of outer body experiences. I listen to podcasts. I really like this stupid Capes and Scowls I found."
And then you know what I would say?
And then lose, "Oh, you're gonna die."
You know what I would say? I would say you gotta laugh.
Yeah,
you gotta laugh.
Laugh, clown. Laugh. So as you
laugh,
can tell,
laugh with yourself, not
We're
at
back.
Yourself.
Laugh with me. Laugh with me. Yeah, so the three of us are back together. We haven't been able to get together in a while, but we're all here.
Lander's biweekly Bahama vacations.
Yeah.
Has subsided for now.
Sure.
Lou's always disappearance with bands have not gone away, but...
Yeah, true. True. So I guess we'll dive in, if you guys are... cool with that. It's a weird energy in the room. It's very weird.
Because we're all looking at that list. Is
don't worry about the list.
So let me describe for the listeners Tim's list.
They're going to hear the list.
They're going to hear the list.
You are going to prepare yourself for this list.
Buckle up, people.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Be a ride.
Don't scare people 2 minutes
all
in.
All right, don't be scared.
So listen, here's what they're giving me shit for. I wrote down the Eisner winners. The Eisner Awards just happened. I wrote a ton of things. It doesn't mean I'm going to spend 10 to 15 minutes talking about the Eisner Awards.
Of course. The listeners have never heard you do something like that.
Also today, we'll be talking about some of the trailers that they revealed at San Diego Comic-Con. We're going to piss Leander off and talk about the new number ones that Marvel plans to ship out after Secret Wars.
He's going to be mad about that.
And if there's time after that, between my 75 minutes talking about the Eisner Awards and Leander's anger of canceling Marvel and anything Lou has planned, we might review some books.
I don't have anything planned.
We'll see what happens.
It shows, Lou. It shows.
Wow.
So... we're going to start. You can find us, of course, if you didn't find us here at capesandscowlspodcast.com. Our email is capesandscowlspodcast@gmail.com. My Twitter account is mad_dog_Tim at Twitter. YouTube, iTunes, we are on almost every podcast app that I can figure out. So if you don't see us on there, let us know. We'll get on there. It's not a problem. So.
And if we're not on your chosen podcast app,
How are you listening to this?
The Phantom Podcast.
It's my neighbors listen to it. I listen to it through the wall with a cup up to my ear.
That must be what it is. That's so funny. When podcasts plug themselves. Right. Because, like, if you're not listening to the podcast already, how will you hear the plug?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not just us either. I heard it on another podcast.
It's like what we do. It's as a podcast people. It's just a thing. It's a thing.
Yeah. So do we have time to talk about personal stories before we jump into...
Yeah, no, yeah, there's plenty of time. This one's going to go short.
It's short. Tim is going to read his list like the Micro Machines man.
Sold.
Hey, I'm friends with him on Facebook.
Get out. He's alive?
He's still alive, yes.
Interesting.
We got to throw a party.
His name's John Moshida, I think is how you pronounce
it. We got to throw a party with him and the Fred Dunkin' Donuts guy. Time to make the donuts.
He might be dead.
I don't think he's dead. I wikied him a couple years ago. That's weird. I think he's still alive.
But it's just as weird as me being a friend. Well, the whole thing was it was a joke.
He had a day.
We should contact him. And I was like, I'll friend him on Facebook. And then like months later, after I forgot about that joke, he friended me. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
So if you ever need somebody who has an in, I'll contact the Micro Machine guy for you. I wonder if he hates Micro Machines.
We need to do like the Avengers of like old commercial spokespeople from the 80s.
Sure.
Like
we'll get... Your band should cover the theme for Crossfire, the board game.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be good.
You'll get caught up in the Crossfire.
No. I wonder where those kids are now.
I hope they're dead.
That wasn't that long ago, Tim. They're like our age.
I'm aware.
If you're listening to
like
Crossfire kids.
Just a bit too much is all I'm saying.
After that commercial, it was all downhill.
Actually, they're the Make-A-Wish kids that listen
to that. I was just about to say that.
First of all, I couldn't.
All right, if we ever do anything charitable, we have to give to Make-A-Wish.
Yeah, it's going to have to be
our bad
Make-A-Wish.
Karma is already up there. Coming. I've already had cancer. It's we don't need any of this.
No.
All right.
So we can't talk about personal stories.
No, go. Go ahead. Jesus. Waiting on you.
Oh, okay.
I need all the time I can get for this list.
There's going to be two. One will lead into the Marvel thing that is going to be directly related to Lou. All right. So, number one.
Yes.
So a year and a half ago, check this out. I was on a train to go to D.C. and I brought my journal with me to write in the journal. Mm-hmm. And on the way back, I lost my journal.
Okay.
It was gone. And no one could tell me where it was. So I called and called, and I was devastated forever, and then I finally started writing a new journal.
The kayak journal?
Not the kayak journal, okay. No.
You must lose a lot of journals.
That was just a kayaking journal.
Let's calm down.
Okay.
It's just the records of things he lost taking on the kayak.
Today I lost. So a year and a half later now it's been, and I got an email of my work that someone found it.
What?
And they sent it back to me already.
Wow.
Yeah. It was pretty awesome. Faith in humanity returned just a little bit.
So is this like a journal that you've written in like years upon years?
Yeah, I was almost done with it.
Wow.
Actually. And I lost it on the train. So I was pretty happy about that. So good things can happen even a year and a half later, just so you know. So you never know.
Did they say where they found it? I'm just curious.
It was on the train. I guess it must have been like in a lost and found for like a year. And no one decided to look through it.
This is somebody's private thoughts we can't look at.
Well, the other thing, too, is that my work email address is nowhere in that book.
Wow,
so
they tracked you
They either
down.
Just saw my name and typed it in and saw that I worked and emailed me. Or
There's only one Leander. You Google it.
Yeah, you know.
That's true.
There's only one.
That's true.
There can only be one.
There's only one that's important. Wow. Except for my dad. So
two Leanders.
That's one. So faith in humanity restored. Second one is this Marvel thing. I canceled all my Marvel titles in my bin. And it's a big deal for me because I'm really upset about how it went. And I decided to cancel all of Marvel. And I wanted to ask Lou, as an artist, what do you do when your band decides to change directions and like one of your bandmates, like one of your fans, like, oh, I hate High Council. I'm never going to listen to them ever again because they changed drastically. Does that ever happen? Like, how does that work in the music world?
Okay, so this... All right. So this is a hot-button issue, you know. So the big thing, Tim probably knows about this, Metallica. This was huge. When I was growing up, Yeah. Like middle school and stuff like that. I hadn't really heard any Metallica. All
right.
But this is right around when they came out with the Load album, which everyone said, oh, they cut their hair, they're selling out, they're not really metal. And here I'm just using metal as it could be any genre mm-hmm. or any really style that you've come to expect from a band creatively. Mm-hmm. So, oh, you're selling out, you're not, you know, this thing that you once were. So I think people get emotionally tied to their own expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it can really vary. Like if you look back now, you know, and you might be like, oh, that sellout Metallica stuff, you know, it's not that bad. There's some good songs. You know, when you take yourself out of like the emotional attachment that you had and you really look back at it, you might find something there you like. And actually, so there's one band that I listen to also. They're called Bad Religion Punk Band. They've been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
I came into them like a little bit later on, you know, and I listened to their whole back catalog, and I really like all their stuff. They basically, in my opinion, been putting out the exact same album for 25 years.
Right.
And it's a great album. I like it, and it just, it all sounds pretty much the same to me.
Mm-hmm.
But in a good way.
Yeah.
So Al, the owner of the comic book store at 30 North Main Street in Glassboro, New Jersey.
I was going to plug it in my story. Oh, well.
No, too late. You can still do it.
All right. He grew up listening to it. So right. I'm like, Al, you should check out this new release from this band that you love and listen to all the time. And he's like, oh, I don't like it. I'm like, how do you not like it? It is the same shit. It is the exact same shit. Like, right. Maybe the production quality is a little more modern because, uh-huh. you know, it's been 20 years since that album. Sure. But, like, the songwriting's the same. It's the same singer. You know, no one learned anything new. They're all just doing, they're playing the same song.
Right, it's hard to not like something that's the same, pretty much.
So, for my own opinion, when a band does do that, I will keep listening to the catalog of their stuff that I do like.
Mm-hmm.
I will give each subsequent album a chance. I will check it out, you know, and give it a fair shot and try to listen to it objectively, which I think a lot of people don't do. I think when people just tend to write bands off, they're just like, no, they suck now, blah, 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 and then, like, never listen to it again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that. I try to listen to every new album they come out with, give it a shot, and if I don't like it, I just don't, you know, listen to those anymore, and I just listen to what I do like. But at a certain point, I stopped like taking it personally. I'm just mm-hmm. like, you know what, it's okay to just like the old stuff and not the new stuff, you know, but you should still be open to the fact that, and this has happened mm-hmm. with some bands where I thought I was done with them, and then they put out an amazing album, and I'm like, wow, I'm glad I didn't write this off 10 years ago, because now at least I was able to get something new. So that's how I feel about it. You know, I think that don't be too quick to write things off, you know, for emotional reasons. Try to judge each thing objectively, and, you know, you might get rewarded in the future.
Lou's grown so much since he started podcasting.
Well, you got me talking about music, man. You opened up that can of worms.
He's my favorite son, easily.
Such a difference from the first day. Such
mm-hmm.
a
difference.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's come miles, man.
He has.
But yeah, you should definitely give music a good try and a good listen in the age of YouTube and Spotify and all these other things.
Yeah.
You can listen mm-hmm. to all this music.
Yeah, now it's kind of gets to the point where, you know, you can check out that new band's album on Spotify for free or something without having to commit to, like, buying the record, because that's annoying when you're, like...
Mm-hmm.
I guess the equivalent will be, like, buying a graphic novel. If something only came out in graphic novel, and you're like, well, I don't know if I like it or not. Here's $20.
Right.
Oh, I fucking hate it. Let's take it back. You know? So,
okay,
that's probably the equivalent.
So
but yeah,
how would you translate that to what Marvel's doing and what people are feeling about that? Some people, like myself.
Well, I mean, that's... I think I've been on record about this before. I said, mm-hmm. wait a couple months, it's all going to blow over. Mm. You're going to find, you know, if they start 25 new titles or 52, whatever it is they're doing, there's going to be some good stuff in there. There cannot be some good stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like 25 to 52 trained monkeys could be in a room randomly writing comics and something good would come out of there.
Okay.
That's probably not true.
Right. No,
when I say trained monkeys, I mean bad writers. Like, one of them's going to get lucky. There's going to be something good in there. So,
yeah.
Just wait a couple months. Like, yeah. I don't think they just tanked the company, if that's what you're asking.
Okay. Well, I still canceled my bin.
You did.
I will look at Marvel and skim, but that's about as far as it goes. And if I see something good, I'll pick it up and be nice to them. But in the meantime, I'd rather invest my money where currently things are going good.
That's all anyone can ask. Don't write it off forever. All right. But right now, if you don't like what's going on right now, don't read it right now. Okay. Just like with music. If you don't like this album, don't listen to this album. It's all right. There'll be other ones.
All right. Yep.
It's going to be okay.
All right. We're going to get through this.
We're going to get through it.
I'm going to cry.
It's going to be all right.
I know. Okay, I'm done. Okay. Yay.
Yeah, like I prefer 70s Marvel, which I wasn't even alive for, but like you go back, I like that.
Mm.
And I prefer it over every other Marvel I've read, but it's like, really? Still, yeah, I like the older 70s stuff.
That stuff's hard for me to get through.
Could be a Moon Knight thing for him, though. Is it Moon Knight?
He did start in the late 70s, but he wasn't what he is now then. He was a plot device to fight a werewolf.
Sure.
He was made out of silver. He was tied to the moon. I mean, come on. So,
Moon Knight facts.
Moon Knight fact number 46. So, my story is at the store I work at, the comic book store, 30 North Main Street, Glassboro, New Jersey. They finally gave the employees an employee pick section.
Oh, yes.
So, it was incredibly hard, and we all fought over who got what. Because Al and I both wanted Invincible, and he's the boss, so he got Invincible, and I settled for Saga. Which is a weird thing to say, settling for Saga, because Saga's very good. But I really wanted Invincible. So I just had to try to think of different things to throw up there. I threw up, you know, some Moon Knight. I threw up some Howard the Duck. Different things that people aren't looking at. Murder Me Dead. Sex Castle. Sex Castle's very funny. You should read that.
Hmm.
If you like 80s action movies, you will love Sex Castle. Guaranteed. And it is not meant to be taken too serious. So it was just kind of fun to get a pick section. I'm waiting to go in and somebody just put weird stuff on my pick section. I can't wait.
It's coming. Annie. Mm-hmm. The Adventures of Annie.
Annie.
Yeah. How many of those did we put in your bin that one time? It was a lot.
It was.
Speaking of Annie, my daughter has a McDonald's toy from the latest Annie movie.
Yeah.
And it sings Tomorrow.
Okay.
If you hit the button. Well, I stepped on it in the middle of coming home and toys everywhere. And
I stepped in it in the middle of trying actively to destroy it.
Not true. Not true. Till the end of the story. Because the goddamn thing sings the whole fucking song. Whole song. And I'm just like, I like step on it. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. And I'm trying to talk to my wife. And I'm like, is this thing ever going to shut the fuck up? I was so mad. But anyways, let's get into the stuff you care about, which isn't Annie.
The news.
You guys, have you seen... We'll go one by one through the trailers and the footage that was leaked from San... There was so much with San Diego. A lot of talk. Mm-hmm. Marvel really wasn't there, represented well. Marvel was doing other things. There was a thing with Disney that Marvel was at.
Sure.
Which, whatever, they're Marvel. Yeah. They don't care. Right. And I don't blame them.
Mm-mm.
You know, do what the mouse tells you to do, all right?
Yeah, plus so, Comic-Con really should just be called Trailer-Con.
Yeah, in a way, you're right, for sure. It's changed for the better and for the worse in some ways. Some of the things they talked about, there will be a Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comic book crossover. There will be a animated Batman the Killing Joke cartoon feature.
Oh, brutal.
That's yeah, really that's intense. That could be very intense. Yeah. I would assume they're going...
It's a movie, though, right? Not a TV series,
it
right?
Sounds like it's a movie release.
Then, I mean, I'm okay with that, because DC makes great movies.
Yeah, and I believe the Paul Dini is attached to it, if I read that correctly. So, and he's the guy who did all the Batman stuff in the past that everybody loves. They're like, oh, he's not on it. It was okay. Like, they painfully, like, it's okay, he's not on it. So, did you see the Star Wars footage?
Yeah.
I really liked...
The back behind the scenes.
Right, because it wasn't like, let's just give them a new trailer. It's like, no, let's just show them like, how some of this stuff is done. Like, oh, hey, puppetry, like classic stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's what people wanted, and I really appreciated that, and I really liked what they released.
Yeah, I agree. That was really nice.
You know, you saw Carrie Fisher, you saw Warwick Davis, you saw, what's his name, who plays Chewbacca?
Oh, I missed him.
Who Warwick Davis? Yeah. There was a scene where he was backstage talking to somebody. Yeah. So there was a bunch of different things.
I thought it was nice. Cool. Yeah.
Show some new characters you don't know anything about. It was probably the smartest thing they could do.
Agreed.
I like how it showed
the gun pod thing mm-hmm. from the Falcon, Millennium Falcon. That was pretty cool. Deadpool.
Yeah. These are both cases. I think both of the trailers, the Star Wars and the Deadpool trailers, are both just good instances of giving the fans what they actually want.
Right.
Which, like, why didn't anyone think of this before?
Yeah.
When they were making, like, the really bad Fantastic Four movies and the crappy Deadpool mm-hmm. from Wolverine Origins. Right. Like, why didn't they just come out of the gate with stuff people actually wanted? That's true. I think it had to take a couple years for people to realize, like, oh, this actually pays off if we, like, listen to what all these nerds are bitching about, you know, instead of the corporate clowns running things, you know? Right. Hit the message boards, people.
So, the Deadpool one was great. Did you see it, Leander?
No, I knew nothing about it.
Cursing, violence, everything was there. Nice. It was Deadpool. It was very good.
Rated R, correct?
Very R, yeah.
Good,
yeah.
As it should be.
The scene where they're making fun of how his face looks.
Yeah.
Great. Like, there's so much weird analogies in that scene. It was very well done.
Nice.
I was very happy with
it. And then he says, Ryan Reynolds, as he's getting put into the Weapon X program, he's like, just don't make my suit green and animated.
Right.
I'll have to see it.
Because he talked about Green Lantern when he was in Green Lantern.
His
suit was green and animated. At least that's what I was...
Yeah, that's what I got out of it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's going to break the fourth wall a bunch. The trailer really didn't, except for like things like that. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it didn't. It focused on over-the-top violence, action, and language. The Suicide Squad stuff got leaked as well. What do you think of that, Lou?
I liked all of it except for the Joker.
You weren't digging the Joker?
Oh my god, it was so bad. It was so bad. He looked like the most annoying kid from your high school. And sounded like him, too. And then he delivers, like, a shitty line, like, I'm just gonna hurt you.
Oh, no.
Real bad. Oh, and I was like, no. Oh, my God, you're like that kid in high school who pretends like he's a psycho so that nobody messes with him, but they fucking mess with him anyway because he's a psycho.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't kill everyone. He just acts like he's going to. Like, that's the impression that's I got worse. From this interpretation of the... It's even worse! If you're gonna act like you're gonna kill everybody, don't pull your punches, nerd. Just woo.
Do it. You know how to build a bomb.
Yeah. You don't do it. I dare you, nerd.
Jesus. Well, that's one way to get into the news. He sighted Capes and Scales and told him to do it.
Yeah, we're just racking up the
guy.
But no, really, you're right. You're right. Like, shut up, man. You're not scaring anybody until I see some steel, bitch. But so, yeah, that's what that Joker is like. And that's my impression of it. But after every awesome Joker we've ever seen, and they've all been awesome.
Yeah.
Even back in the 60s.
Yes, yeah, Cesar mm-hmm. Romero.
Awesome.
Yeah, need a flop.
He's like, just a goofy-ass Muppet Joker with a grill. Oh,
yeah, I agree. The Joker was the hardest thing for me to put my thumb on, but I'm not going to damn it to hell until I see it, but I liked the trailer, the footage.
Yeah, the rest of it was solid. Right. Yeah, I don't even know if you need a Joker in that movie.
Right.
You know?
He seems unnecessary.
I really want it to be a flashback. I really do. I want it to be like him torturing Jason Todd and have that be a plot line through everything else. Because if you look in the Batman Superman trailer, which, did you guys see that one?
Yeah.
I missed that
one. You missed that one? They show a bat suit with Joker handwriting all over it, and it's holding a crowbar. So they may reference Jason mm-hmm. Todd being killed by the Joker, which could be a flashback from Suicide Squad. Who knows? That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping the Joker's not real relevant in Suicide Squad.
That would be nice.
I mean, I was thinking, I don't know much about it. I thought maybe they were setting it up like he's going to be the main bad guy. Because who else do they fight? I don't know much about Suicide Squad.
They just create people for them to fight. I feel like it's always like, here's an impossible situation. We don't value your lives. Go or we'll blow up your head kind of thing.
Yep.
It's always been that. I know in the old comics they fought like the Dark Side, the what was it, the Furies or whatever. Like, they showed up a lot in that book, which I don't know why, but they did.
Interesting.
But, so, I don't know. But I really like that trailer. A lot of people were like, their faith was renewed in the project and the DC universe because of this trailer. Sure, some people didn't feel that way, but the only thing I didn't like was Luther. He was very annoying, which might be a good thing if he turns into a brooding, bald jerk by the end of all these movies, which if that's the case, it's fine, but he was super annoying. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, like, condemned him at Comic-Con. He was like, oh my god, people hate me. But I thought it was good. It showed fight scenes. It showed why Batman was so mad at Superman. The setup is Wayne was there in Metropolis at one of his buildings, I think it was a bank, when Superman fought Zod in Man of Steel, and he killed a bunch of people that worked in his building. Right. Like, he saves a little girl from wreckage and stuff, and he's just like pissed. So he's like, somebody has to take care of this.
Right.
Well, I'm glad that someone is addressing the build all the buildings that get smashed in superhero movies.
Right. Batman.
It is a it seems to be the main plot line of the movie. Yeah. Which is good.
Wow.
So it's almost like they purposely did that at the end of Superman movie, knowing that Batman was gonna get upset about it.
I
don't know, but people were bitching. People were bitching so much at the end of the Superman movie about how un-Superman it was like to like kill a dude and smash through a bunch of buildings. So they're like, oh, maybe it's like, you know what? Maybe it's true.
Maybe it is true.
All right, so it's time for my 3-minute Eisner review. You guys ready?
We're timing it.
Are you ready? You ready to time me? All right. So the thing about the Eisners this year, a lot of people. One who you really didn't think were going to win, which is kind of cool. So we got best writer was Gene Lun Yang from Avatar: The Last Airbender.
What?
Best writer? Kind of surprised, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's the only book that Gene... Is it a guy or a girl?
I don't know. They also did The Shadow Hero. Couldn't tell you. Best painter multimedia artist was J.H. Williams III for Sandman Overture. Fiona Staples won Best Artist / Penciler / Inker. Best Colorist was Dave Stewart, Hellboy in Hell. Stan Sakai from Usagi Yojimbo won Best Letterer. Best Cover Artist was Darwin Cook for the DC Comic Month variants, where he did all old school characters. Best Single Issue or One Shot is Beasts of Burden, Hunters and Gatherers, which was Evan Dorkin, the guy that used to do Milk and Cheese back in the day. Best continuing series was Saga for the third year in a row, which is kind of crazy. Best new series was Lumberjanes. There's three different books about Little Nemo that all won an Eisner. That is very strange. Isn't that strange?
Little Nemo, like...
Like Little Nemo the Dream Master, like...
Really?
Yeah, Little Nemo.
I thought that was just a video game.
No, it's based off of an old school...
Like, classic
book.
I haven't seen that issue anywhere on any stands.
We had the one in our store, and it sold like that day, and then I forgot it existed, which happens to books sometimes. if you want something at your store, tell your store, because we will forget. Can't remember everything. And best digital webcomic was The Private Eye by Brian K. Vaughan. Best reality-based work was Hip Hop Family Tree Volume 2.
I don't know why he excitedly look at me, but when he said
I just happened to be looking at you. No, it's because you're black and you love hip hop and trees. You're some sort of
it is appropriate. Wow.
And that's it. See, that wasn't so bad.
That wasn't so bad. Well, we got to talk about who the hell these people are, though. The hell are these people?
They're who I mentioned.
All right. There you are.
A lot of them have done other things, and I could go and take 6 minutes and tell you some of their
stuff.
Probably
better if people look it up, though. I mean, you can't do all the work.
No, I mean, if you were interested in these people, just look up who won the Eisner Award. Look who won the Eisner Awards last, like, 2 or 3 years. They're all online, and get a feel for the industry, you know? Like, Best New Series is always an interesting category to look down. Last year, Sex Criminals won. Saga, I think, won the year before when that debuted. So it's just like you get an idea of what comics are kind of on top. The other big comic award show is the Harvey Awards, which those nominations came out. And what was interesting about it is I liked their nominees a little bit more. And Valiant was represented a lot more in those awards, where I don't even know if they got nominated at all for an Eisner.
Right.
Which is kind of crazy, I think.
Yeah. Well, it seems like... it's
been good.
Interesting that Marvel wasn't, like, didn't make a presence there, mainly because this is a critical point where people like myself are looking for better places to go, and now I have a whole list of places to go instead of Marvel.
I wonder if the Eisners are sort of becoming like the Oscars, where it's not the, you know, Marvel doesn't get into the Oscars either for Avengers, you know, maybe right. They're just like trying to go highbrow with it and be like, here's some, it all has to be, you know, like Eisner bait.
Eisner bait.
I don't know if that's true. I mean, we're still talking about comic books here, but sure. From that list, I mean, it doesn't seem like there's not a lot of superhero stuff at all. All
right. No, a lot of it didn't win. Saga is the only common thread over the past couple of years.
Hmm. And even that's not a superhero book. No, it's not really. Marvel or DC.
No.
Nope.
So, yeah, maybe it's just sort of like the elitist.
I mean, scrolling my list, I only see one thing remotely Marvel, and it's Best Archival Collection for comics.
Why didn't you write that down?
Best Archival Collection.
Because it's the only Marvel thing that I found in the Wiz.
Why is that an award?
It's Starenko. Art book about Starenko.
Okay.
But there's actually...
So, like, the guy who edited it and put it together won the award for the presentation.
Is there new, like, writing in there?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sure there's writing in there.
Okay. I guess someone actually did put something original. It's just like, well, they made a trade out of
they wanted
Starenko stuff. It got an award because why not? We printed too many trophies.
You're silly. You're a silly man.
I'm not a silly man. It's just the best archive. That to me, my first thought was someone made like a trade paperback, like Marvel Essentials Volume 14, and they're like, you get an award for just reprinting this and putting it into a book.
Yeah,
that's what it sounded like. Obviously, I'm wrong. Tim is giving me a look right now. Obviously, I'm wrong about that.
You don't necessarily have to be wrong, but you happen to be wrong
in this instance.
Okay, I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
See, I did it. Are you proud of me? We got all this time. What do you want to talk about now?
Well, I think we all have comics to review.
Yeah, let's review comics. Who wants to go first? Oh. I have four comics with me. And not a single one is Marvel or DC.
I have seven. And
not a single one is Marvel.
And one's Marvel.
All right, well, Lou, we got to throw you in the middle because you got the one.
Yeah.
And it's going to make Leander's blood boil. So
that's true.
I'll go first. I'll randomly pick one here. All right, you ready? Invader Zim, number one. Did you guys like Invader Zim when it was around?
I never saw it.
I didn't.
No? I feel like you guys would really like it. I got into it.
I don't think I'd like it.
I saw it and I didn't like it.
Okay. Well, I was wrong about you guys.
but I could be wrong.
I got into it after it had been done and it like came back out on DVD. I got into it and I loved it. I thought it was funny. It's a different take on a more of a darker humor. This book is written exactly like the cartoon. A lot of the gags translate well. The way they're written, you can hear the characters talking as if you were watching the cartoon. Everything's written perfectly. It takes place after the cartoon, where Zim has been gone for years, and the character Dib, who is trying to figure out, he's the only one who knows that he's an alien, everybody else is too oblivious. He literally gets fat and repulsive because he's doing nothing but sitting and watching the monitors waiting for Zim's next move. For 2 years he sits there, and he actually fuses to the chair, and then Zim reappears, and he goes to confront him, and he goes, my plan was to hide for 2 years so you would get big and fat and stupid and you couldn't stop me. He's like, well, where were you? He goes, I hid in the toilet for 2 years. He literally sat in the toilet, not on it. Yeah, because that's where there were no monitors in the bathroom.
That's funny.
Is he really tiny?
He's fairly tiny, yes. And his dog is a robot. His robot disguises a dog. He's insanely stupid. And he has the best one-liners ever.
Yeah.
So yes, if you love Invader Zim, you will love this book. It is exactly what you could have wanted. So that's my first review. Yes. I liked it. It was good. If you don't like Invader Zim, I would say watch the show before you get into this.
Well played.
Well played, sir. I see your Zim, and I raise you Captain Avengers.
So, first of all, before I say that, I'm looking through them really quick. And I'm like, oh my gosh, people are going to think I'm so gay. Because almost every book in here has a gay character. Almost everyone in here. So I'll start with the unexpected gayish character.
Okay.
Red One.
Yep.
So I reviewed Red One, number one, a while ago. Number two finally came out. And it's about this KGB Soviet Union lady who was trying to infiltrate the U.S. by dressing up as a superhero. Because stupid Americans like stupid as heroes. So she's like, oh, I'll infiltrate by being a hero. Like they all like to do. I'll like to see. So, She's, first of all, has a banging body. That's what that's what you guys say, right? Banging body.
It's pretty bad.
Or like dope or dope, fly.
Fly. Okay. Yeah. I'm learning the lingo of your culture. So she's amazing. She's she finally got her new outfit. She finally picked her weapons out. And she's kicking butt. And the idea is that she's supposed to make a name for herself by being the superhero. And what she's basically been doing is going around fighting kind of anti-hate crimes, more or less, and putting, making sure it gets on film. Or on that the media catches it. And so, like, she goes and helps and saves, like a brothel where the guys were, like, you know, the brothel's still happening, but there's some other guys, like gangs, that just wanted to, like, beat people up and have sex with random people. So she beat up the gang members, and then the brothel people were like, oh, do you want to join us? And she was like, I would, but I have to go to the grocery store. So, like, she's totally into that stuff. Like, you saw her in when she was in her homeland, she was totally into threesomes and foursomes and fivesomes. She doesn't care about that sort of stuff. Then she goes to, like, a school and beats up these, like, four guys who were trying to kill these lesbians in a, that were just making out in the bathroom. Anyways, throughout the entire, like, book, she's rescuing these, like, people that you aren't used to being saved. Like, in a modern America, you don't think about, oh, I'm going to go save gay folks, or, oh, I'm going to go save these brothel folks. Or there's a guy who's obviously, he was dressed as a woman, and someone, like, found out, and they were, like, going to go beat him up, so she saved that guy. Like, those aren't the people that we try to save in mainstream.
I forget. Doesn't this take place, like, not current times? Isn't it, like, a couple years back?
Yeah, a couple years back,
is it, like,
yeah.
Is it 60s?
It's really big on whenever the porn era was, because this is, there's a lot of porn
I don't remember.
Reference in this book. Hmm. So it doesn't feel very modern. It doesn't feel modern because they dress like old school porn people with the mustache and the unnecessary shirt open.
And this guy's got an old school TV with no cable.
There you go.
So it's everything possible. I think Red One is amazing. Nice. I was completely blown away by the way they portray her as a hero. At the very end, she's saving two lesbians that's being torched alive against the main villain. And one of the girls looks to be dead, and the other one is pregnant, and she's asking for her help. So I think the premise is that there's they're in California. Mm-hmm. There's a new governor that's running, and she's, like, super, like, religious, left wing and everything. And I think she's actually the leader of this group of people that are going around trying to kill gays, lesbians, and brothel people. They wanted the entire porn industry, all these sort of things, and Red One's kind of saving those people.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Have you gotten over the art, and it's not just Monet?
Oh, it's just Monet. it's totally M from Generation X or X Factor or X Men, whatever you remember her from. It is just M as a Soviet Union KGB person, but I'm okay with it. M's awesome, so.
Yeah, Terry Dodson's work, a lot of them look the same.
Yeah, the woman, he draws the same kind of woman over and over again.
I see.
So it looks just like a character in another book.
His Catwoman looks like that, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's really good.
It's a fantastic. I mean, he can draw a female body fantastically, I think. That's my first one.
Nice. You want to go or you want me to go?
I should skip because I only have one.
Alright.
And Leander's going to leave.
Alright, so my next one is The Spirit. Will Eisner's The Spirit getting rebooted yet again. This is a Dynamite comic, and this takes place perhaps after the DC run. I'm not really sure. The Spirit is only in the book in flashbacks, and it's kind of like, where is he? He's been missing for years. He's presumed dead. And it's a lot of the classic characters from this, because this was originally from, like, the 40s or something. And they did a really good job of updating the characters, in a way. Like, it still talks old-timey, and but, like, it's not, like, blatantly racist. And you know, Will Eisner, I mean, this is where the Eisners come from, is the Spirit. So, it's Matt Wagner doing the art, the guy who does The Goon. It was really good. If you like The Spirit, he's not in it at all. It's all set up where his former sidekick, Ebony, the black character, Ebony White, is going to go try and find him. So it's just a lot of setup. But if you like The Spirit, it is, you know, they're updating it, even though it still has that old time feel. I couldn't put I have no idea what year this is supposed to take place in.
Hmm.
So I don't know, but it was good. So that's it. That's all you got to know about that one. All
right. Alan Moore's Providence, number one and number two. I can't even get past three pages. So
now let me explain.
Let me explain now. The only reason I can't get through this book, even though I have both of them now, one and two, is just too dense. I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know who he is or what he's all about. But I cannot deal with the amount of text that I have to read through to get to anything good. So I just don't like that, and I'm having a hard time getting through it. So
you're not an Alan Moore guy.
I guess I'm not.
Well, okay, but there's a difference of, you know, 2000s Alan Moore and every other time Alan Moore.
Well, I mean, if he's good and acting like old-timey Alan Moore, then it's probably a lot of text.
This speaks to your earlier point about what do you do when, you know, something that you used to... like now sucks, and that's kind of like Alan Moore. Alan Moore is sort of like the Metallica of comics.
Yeah,
he used to be good.
Used to be the best.
He used to be the best. They did Watchmen, you know, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
From Hell.
V
for Vendetta.
Like all the quintessential comic books.
I mean, if you're Watchmen a friend of him, but if you like him, then you might like this. I am not exposed to any of the things that you just said, so I had a difficult time really getting through it. It was so slow and it was boring, and I think there's a book apparently that summons ghosts, I guess.
This is probably more of his who's that author that everyone likes now with the Cthulhu's? Come on, guys, come on. Cthulhu,
the guy with the Cthulhu's,
the guy who wrote why am I blanking? I always blank. Why do I always blank?
The guy that wrote the
Guys,
Cthulhu's.
Guys, come on.
H.P. Lovecraft?
Yes.
I was going to let him stew a bit.
Oh, you knew. You knew.
That's me.
What a jerk.
So this is more You're of his, welcome. Like, this is more of his faux Lovecraftian stuff. Cthulhu. This is all he does now, because I read his last couple of things. The Courtyard, which was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The sequel to The Courtyard, which was Neonomicon, which it was like just not. It was just like, you know, not good. It was a little too brutal for me.
Mm.
And then this is all just kind of like, I think he just read a bunch of Lovecraft and he was like, this is what I do now.
Mm.
And I don't know if that's the case with this book, but it is called The Yellow Sign, The Yellow King or The Man in Yellow, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Anyways, I say that I don't like it.
The Man in Yellow is just...
That's Cthulhu's awesome. A monkey, right?
Oh, wow. Yeah, and I'm looking at this, and there's a whole book in the back, like a journal, which would be fine, except it's in like really poor handwriting. Yeah. So, like, come on, just help me out.
Yeah.
Just pretend it was a newspaper or something.
Yeah, so I couldn't do it. There's some...
You tried.
There's some random, like, nakedness, but even that doesn't do it for me. So I'm just like, nope, I'm done. So no Providence for me. I'm going to get that off my bin because it's currently in there.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but yeah, if you're not familiar with Alan Moore, he was probably the best comic author there was, and now he does this.
Mm-hmm. Once upon a time.
All right.
I don't know. Maybe there's some people who, are into
it. Desperate,
but...
yeah. Alan Moore, wow. Providence.
Whoa. Desperate. Whoa.
But that's funny because he read it having no idea who it was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Fresh look at it.
Yeah.
Fresh
look. All right, who's up?
I guess I'll go now. Secret Wars, number 4.
Oh, I'm sorry, there's some vomit in my
throat.
Oh,
this book is so good. It's so awesome. I don't know. If Marvel as a comic company tanks because of this, it was worth it for this book. That's how good this book is.
No way.
This is like what I've been waiting for from Hickman for so long.
Stop it.
I know it sounds like I'm being hyperbolic to mess with you.
Yes, it
but
does.
I'm not. This is awesome. It's finally like the issue where like Doom actually stands up and has to do something. And it's like, wow, I was just waiting for this. Because Doom's the god of the whole world. And, you know, so far he's just been sitting in some tree, you know, passing down proclamations or maybe talking to Doctor Strange. But now it's like they come and tell him that the bad guys from the old Earth have showed up and they're fighting the Thors and they're, like, kicking the Thors' asses and they're like, you got to do something. So he's like, all right. He gets up and he just goes out there and kicks ass. And it's awesome. And I like... I mean, let's be honest, it's a lot of male posturing, but I like it's kind of what you want to see, because it's like, Thanos is there.
He's Doom, so yes.
Yeah, he's Doom. I expect Thanos is there, and Thanos was like, oh, what you got, bitch? And he was like, I'm God. And, you know, and then, like, Cyclops Phoenix is like, no, I'm so great. And he's like, I'm God. Just like, fuck off. I'm Doom. Deal with it. And it's really awesome. But you guys are not that into this. So, you know, I'm riding high on this.
No, yeah, it's good. Male posturing, yeah.
But, I mean, come on. It's a Marvel comic, so there's going to be some of that. But it's the kind you want to see. It's all the biggest badasses of the universe just, like, in a stare down. And right. Then...
And Doom comes out on top?
Yeah. Doctor Strange, before shit can really hit the fan, he sort of sends everybody away. So it's a little bit of a boner kill. Mm. But it's kind of like, he's like, dude, I know what you were going to do. I know you were going to flip out and totally just stomp everybody. So I sent him away because those guys, I used to hang out with them and they were my friends. So, and he's like, not having that either. So I don't want to spoil too much, but Doom flies off the handle a little bit. Like, you knew he was going to do. You knew he wasn't, you know, you know he's the God King of the world for a reason. And it's not because he takes anybody's shit. So it was cool to see. It was cool to see him lay a little bit of the smack down.
So you said Thanos. Who else did he confront? Doom confronted?
Doom, but basically it comes down to it, like, sort of a shouting match between Thanos. Like, they're all fighting. Like, the good heroes come back. They're fighting the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And Valeria Richards and Sue Storm are like, hey, they're like looking through the viewing portal or whatever and seeing this big fight go down. And their problem with the fight isn't that everyone's fighting. It's that they can't determine what the outcome's going to be. There's too many unknown factors that could happen from a big fight where all the heroes are fighting each other.
Mm.
So Doom's not like, oh, I got to stop this before someone gets hurt. He's like, I got to stop this because I'm not sure what's going to happen. And if we're not sure what's going to happen, we have to stop it so that we get sure. Because his priority is making sure that the world he created doesn't, like, destabilize.
Right.
So, so, and that's why he's not too happy when Doctor Strange just, like, poofs everybody to, like, the four corners of the earth.
Right.
It's like, well, we got to go track him down. What are you doing?
Right, you just wasted our time.
But he's like, I didn't want you to just, like, kill everyone here. So, I sent him away. So, yeah. So, it was really well written, I thought. Cool character interaction. The one problem I have is that the non-main characters, like the guys who are on the life raft who escaped from the destroying Earth.
Like Mr. Fantastic and all that?
Not Mr. Fantastic, but like the support guys, like Star-Lord's on there, Spider-Man's on there. Right. None of these guys seem to really, like...
It doesn't
hammer home that, like, their whole existence was destroyed. The only person who mentioned it is Miles Morales, who's like... He's like, are you saying that everyone I've ever known is dead?
Mm.
And everyone else is still cracking jokes. Like, right. This is like, just another mission. It's like, no, you escaped the destruction of the universe. Like,
right.
every hero you ever worked with is dead. every family member you ever have is dead. And Spider-Man's like, well, yucka, 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 making jokes. And Star-Lord's like, nice cape, Doctor Strange. It's like, you are 10 minutes away from the destruction of everything you ever loved. Like, how about a moment here?
Right.
So that's my only thing. It's like, yeah, Spider-Man. Spider-Man and Star-Lord are supposed to make jokes, mm-hmm. so they are. But, like, I feel like the tone of everybody else, all the main characters, is where it should be. Because, like, Reed Richards, you know, saw his wife, like, you know, vanish and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, like, appropriately grizzled. But everyone else is, like, back to their old hero selves, except for Miles Morales is like, maybe anyone stop to think about this for 2 seconds?
Shut up, Miles.
But, yeah, shut up, kid. But, yeah, other than that, awesome stuff. Can't wait for the rest of them.
All right. Well, I will keep us going with a book called Mercury Heat. It's from Avatar, and it's by Kieron Gillen, or Gillen, or we never know how to say anybody's names, but he's good. This book is different. I actually really liked it. I thought Leander might like it. It's about, there's, like, colonies on Mercury. There's a way where if you stay in the middle of the planet, you won't, like, burn. Or freeze, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to stay.
What, like the core of the planet?
It's unclear whether you're in the core or on it, or I don't know what.
Because I don't think you're on it.
It's the future. It's sci-fi. There's a way, all right?
Right.
It's very sci-fi. This book was very inspired by, like, Judge Dredd and books like that. So it's got a very strong female lead character who is trying to... She goes to Mercury for the first time. And she wants to be, like, a cop, which is actually, like, a bounty hunter. So you can see the Judge Dredd kind of thing. There's a computer that she communicates with that's just in her mind. It has a different colored thought bubble, so you know it's the computer.
She would have to be a really strong character to be able to withstand the gravity of Mercury.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. geek alert. All right, so what do we...
I have a problem with this premise.
Well, I'm sure there's lots of little things.
I'm sure they'll explain everything.
Yeah, everything gets explained in the proper scientific manner.
Yes, of course.
What a jerk. I didn't poop on your Secret Wars book. Anyway.
You wanted to. I could see it in your
eyes.
No,
I didn't. And I applaud you for not spoiling the end, because I know how that ends. But, I thought it was a pretty cool book. The character... seems to, at times, her eyes get red and she gets, like, super strength or different abilities that she needs in a pinch. So she's very much not like a cop, even though that's what she says. She's more like a bounty hunter. And she's investigating. She has to, like, lower her pay grade down a lot to get a case because they're like, ooh, whatever it is about her, people are like, oh, I don't want anything to do with you.
She's got that Mercury heat.
Yeah, she's got the Mercury heat.
I'm a cop.
Easy, Kung Fury. So... basically, she ends up fighting this guy who's just trying to assassinate her, and she ends up killing him. She, like, lunges at him, where she's, like, gonna do, like, a Mexican wrestling hurricanrana kind of move to him. Mm-hmm. And she makes her legs stronger, and she crushes his head in with her knees. It was pretty gruesome. It's not, like, over-the-top violent book, except for parts. Yeah. But, like, the character was really good, and she took this case that nobody wanted, and she found something out about it. So it goes from there. But this was originally a short story that he wrote in, I think it was a backup story in one of the Free Comic Book Day books. And people dug it, so he made it. And it seems pretty good. And that's it.
Well played.
Yes.
All right, so I have three, but I'm going to do one, and then... something really quick about something that I read.
Mercury heat.
Sorry. Just had to do that once.
Thank you. All right, so...
when her eyes get red, she's got the mercury heat.
You've downgraded that book so much.
So much.
No, they call it mercury heat because it's really hot, because it's too hot for anyone to live there. So that's why it's mercury heat, because it's a pretty hot place.
It's totally hot. It's so fucking hot. Do your reviews before Lou talks.
Yes. All right. Shocker of the day. I am reading Marvel.
You son of a bitch.
Runaways number one.
I know why.
And Runaways number two.
I know why.
I like Runaways.
I accidentally picked up Runaways number one just to see what was going on. You're going to blow your mind. Don't even open it yet until I tell you. Don't even open it because you're not ready.
I'm not ready.
It is probably... currently, historically,
this is so good.
This is gonna end good.
The best Jubilee character ever written is in the Runaways.
Wow!
So first,
so great.
First,
irony.
First, she's a vampire still, which is good because if you're a true Jubilee fan, you know in her real continuity she is a vampire. And you have to deal with it, and we've accepted it. so on top of that. She has her powers. She is Jubilee Vampire with powers. Number two. Number three. She is a lesbian. And she is awesome. The whole book was good. At first I was like, oh, Jubilee's in it. I'll pick it up just to see what's going on. Then I read all the other characters. And the other characters are so well written. All the characters on this cast for Runaways are very well written. Cloak and Dagger in this team. But they're switched. So Cloak is... The one that used to be able to throw the white daggers or whatever, now she's the one that teleports everywhere. And Dagger can actually throw daggers that are actually hurtful because they're, like, more dark black daggers. Whereas, like, Dagger's ability always, like, I'm going to throw light daggers at you that don't really hurt you. They just cleanse your soul. Dagger's like, I'm going to actually hurt you when I throw daggers at you. So, there's a Hulk character like Scar, Cloak Dagger, Amadeus Cho, Jubilee, some girl named Molly, which apparently was in the original Runaways. Molly was
the only one actually from the Runaways.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's fun. She's like a quirky little kid. Winter Soldier, and some girl who I don't know. I know she has ice powers, so she could be a Bobby Drake alternate universe person. I don't even know. Maybe her daughter or his daughter or something. I don't know. So, Runaways number 1 and number 2 were fantastic. It exactly what you think it is. They basically, there's a school that's set up for every kid from every battle world comes to this one school to train to be an elite guard for Doom. And only the strongest survive, more or less. And these runaways were all in trouble, and they weren't going to be able to do their final exam. So, because they all got into this big fight by accident, and so they got thrown into the final exam together. Well, the cool thing about this is that it shows in issue number 2 that the final exam, you think you're fighting holograms, you're actually killing the other students. Mm-hmm. It's only because Amadeus Cho took them to a side pocket to get them out of the game completely, and they saw all the dead students. Mm. So they're like, we gotta get out of here. Hence, Runaways.
Wow.
What an asshole.
And then I'm gonna make a quick point to Midnighter. Mm-hmm. I only bring this up because Midnighter was in my gay dating app. I wasn't even gonna bring Midnighter up today at all, whatsoever. But I went on my app, and it says, do you like superheroes? I mean, what? This must be like, you know, they see what I like or whatever. It was actually a statement for, like, everyone. Because Midnighter uses the same dating app in Midnighter number 2. So the app made it, like, you know, told everyone about the fact that this happened. Even gives, like, takes you right to a link to the downloads. You can look at the comic and everything. It was really, really awesome. That's
pretty awesome.
Yeah, I've never seen that, anything like that before in my entire life. I was just really shocked to see how they did that. So Midnighter number 2 was great, just like number 1, but more importantly, it's really caught on to the... For some reason, this character is very strong for the male gay society, for some reason.
It's a great character.
Yeah.
That book sold out, like, twice on us.
Really?
And
really?
It's not just the gay community that's behind it. Like, sure. A lot of our regulars who, I assume, aren't gay,
right.
Who say they're not gay.
Yeah. Right.
They're all behind it. So...
I mean, it's great. I mean, in general, he's a great, just violent, hand-to-hand, and some techie stuff fighter. But on top of that, they just did a phenomenal job with his character in these last two issues. So I'm excited to see where it goes.
Nice.
He kind of reminds me a little bit of Moon Knight, like what I think.
I could see why you would like that. Yeah.
Yeah. but yeah, I was really, the more important thing is I was shocked that a gay dating app went out of its way to make sure everyone looked at Midnighter.
That's really cool.
Yeah. That's it.
Well, I got one more to review.
Go for it.
And this is how you end the podcast, with a book that was very fun that doesn't have any words in it.
Mm.
How can that be? Godzilla in Hell. Godzilla in Hell number 1.
Is this new or like
this
old
is brand stuff? New. I bought the variant, the subscription goodness. Cover, which looks like an old school EC comic.
It does look old.
It's fantastic. You definitely got to check out the art for the sub cover on Godzilla in Hell number 1. I don't know if the other ones are going to have it as well, but you know, you can order it just as much as the regular cover. I don't know why Godzilla went to hell in the beginning. He goes to hell.
Well, he did a lot of bad stuff.
I don't know, but I don't know.
He did have a time.
I don't know why he's dead. I don't know. There's no setup at all. It's just
good.
He's falling to hell. He gets there.
He lost. That was the bet with Charles Barkley and Godzilla versus
Barkley. Barkley got him. So
I'm gonna see this.
So he falls down, and there's a sign there once he gets there, and it says, you know, abandon all hope, least ye whatever the hell, and he just blows the sign away. And all this book is him moving through hell and fighting demons. It's all it is. There's no plot per se. He just fights a demon. At one point, he finds an alternate version of him, and he has to fight. It turns into this giant demon with like tentacles and teeth and stuff. He ends up killing it, and then he falls down to another level of hell.
Yes.
So I'm like, so he's going through hell. I don't know why. Honestly, it doesn't matter.
I hope he just fights bigger and bigger mini-bosses till he gets to Satan. And that's all
that is. That is absolutely the feel of the book. So I hope... If you like Godzilla, I don't know the why, but this one is a lot of fun.
We just need to do a Dungeons & Dragons game called Godzilla in Hell. And like you play a lizard man. Someone casts giant size on you, and then you just fight demons. And every time you win, you drop down to another level.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
It is what it's advertised.
The good thing is, I can go through that entire issue in like 2 seconds because there's no words.
I had like an hour where I was like, all right, I got to read some books for the podcast. And I sat down with that and I didn't know there were no words. Right. And I'm like, wow, I better go get another book because I blew through this pretty quick. But it's it has good art.
And yeah, I agree. Good art.
There's a lot of really good attention to detail. There's a part where there's like tons of tiny little human demon creatures coming at him, and they actually take him down at one point.
I guess if you take out words, you have more time to focus on...
The art has to carry it.
Yeah. Ultimate violence. This is awesome.
Isn't it great? So, the surprise book that you're like, ooh, what a dumb thing.
Yeah.
If you actually read it, look at it. It's a lot of fun. It's not a thinky book. It's just have fun.
Oh,
it's
really?
It's really cool, though.
Godzilla talks a lot about the heaven and hell philosophy.
It's an analogy for the struggle we all go through.
Yeah. Thank you, Godzilla.
Nominated for an Eisner Award.
Yes. All right, well played, sir.
Yeah, so there you go. 4 books that are not Marvel or DC. There's other good things out there, people.
Yes, we know. Until Jubilee comes back, and then you're like, oh, shoot, Marvel.
I wonder if they're going to not push her at all because of that X-Men movie. Or if they're gonna, there's characters they push and characters that they just kill off and that's it.
Sure.
So.
Well, they can't kill off Jubilee, though.
They can do whatever they want. No, I think it would be dumb. Yeah, I think it would be dumb, but.
Oh, guys, stop. The evil Godzilla just has scars on him. It's just like they're both monster Godzillas, and the bad monster Godzilla just has a scar over the eye.
It just seems like that for now. It's more intense later.
Yes, it's very intense.
Very, very intense.
But still, it's funny that the original difference between the two Godzillas is...
And it does look like the classic Godzilla. Or maybe like the second or third version of him, but it's an old school Japanese version of Godzilla.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, good pick, Tim.
Yeah.
Almost got
seems to entertain everybody.
Well played. All right.
Well, let's cut it there because we went long and this might have to be in 2 parts. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But thank you for listening. Again, we're on iTunes. We're on everything. You know where we are by now, right?
You're listening
Heck
to us.
Yeah.
All right, Lou, take us home.
All right, everybody go to highcouncil.net and buy all my CDs. And then find the Evening River Band Bandcamp and buy all the merchandise on there, too. Just buy my stuff. Just buy it all. Just buy the stuff.
This is his last episode, guys.
I'm just gonna plug it. Home, usually Tim makes me plug stuff, and the time I wanted to, because I'm desperate.
Take us home is not.
He's telling me to take
crap.
Us home.
Take us home is not pander for money like you're on the streets.
Lou, you have anything you'd like to plug?
No, I'm good.
Leander, do you want to plug anything for Lou?
No, although Lou's band is pretty awesome.
Yes, thank you.
It is fairly epic. I agree.
I've listened to your CD at least 20 times already.
I got more CDs if you want to buy them. They're in the cart.
Oh, God. All right, guys. We'll sign off here. We got money to dish out to Lou to help him with college.
This, the 4th of July. No one told me.
Leave him alone.
What's she gonna do? Hit me with her diaper?
I'll show you, you overgrown trash!